Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I want to wish all the mothers in our listening audience today a happy Mother's Day. I hope that you have a blessed weekend. And I know that everyone who is here today and those listening in our audience are very thankful for your mother. And they've been such a blessing to all of us. Where would we be without them? We have to have them. And praise God we've had mothers. Praise the Lord for that. What a blessing our mothers have been to all of us. We were talking in our Sabbath school class about how sometimes our mothers cared so much for us. They cared about not only our daily health and well-being, but they thought a lot about our spiritual life and eternity for us. And sometimes they were the ones who pushed us to come to church and encouraged us to come to church with them week by week. And oftentimes we didn't like it. We rebelled against it at certain times when we became teenagers. And I was thinking, you know, I wonder if anyone's ever done a study to see how many people are in a church or go to church as a result of their mother forcing them to go to church. And how many people don't go to church because they were never encouraged by their mother. It would be an interesting study to look at. And I think because my mother did force me when I didn't want to go to church, I think that's why I still have an interest in serving God today. Is because of what my mother instilled in me as a young person. Today I'd like to share a story with you. And years ago, my wife and I were attending a church in Ohio. We were there visiting for a Sabbath. And in between the Sabbath school hour and worship, there was, you know, the interlude of about 10 minutes. The pastor and the elders had not come out onto the platform yet, and so the worship service was not officially started. People were filtering into the worship center after leaving. You know, many of the parents had picked up their children from their Sabbath school classes and was coming to the worship center. And while my wife and I was sitting in a pew, there was a young lady sitting behind us, about four or five pews, and she was talking very loud to a young girl who was about three pews in front of us. And this went on back and forth for probably 5 minutes, talking really loud. And then I noticed this young lady that was in the back. She stood up, and instead of getting out into the aisle and walking up to where the other young lady was at that she was talking to, she stood up on the pew and walked on the backs of the pew up to where the girl was sitting. And I thought, my, that's a little different than what I've seen in church before. That's a different way of getting where you want to go and communicating. And I'm not sure I understood what motivated that move by that young lady. And so I have to ask the question that I've asked myself many times before in experiences in church: where is holiness located? And when I thought about what happened with Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where God said that you're standing on holy ground, take off your sandals, your shoes. He said the same thing to Joshua in Joshua chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, that where he was standing was holy ground, to take off his shoes. At Mount Sinai, they were not to go up on the mountain or to touch it because it was holy. Because the Lord wanted them to consecrate themselves and sanctify themselves, prepare themselves to meet him. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 12 and 13, you can see that experience. Well, from looking at this, I am convinced that when the question is asked, where is holiness located, I have to be able to say in my own mind, holiness is wherever God is at. Can you say that? Amen to that? I want to take you to a story in the New Testament, excuse me, in Mark chapter 11 and verses 15 through 17. Jesus has left the little town of Bethany and he's entering into Jerusalem. And in verse number 15 of Mark chapter 11, it says, "And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." In that temple, they were doing something besides worshiping God. There was a lot of secular business going on inside of the temple that day. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, that where he is, where two or three people were gathered together in his name, that's where he is at too. You know, this is not a social club that we belong to here in the church, and I don't think any church is a social club. It should never be. And we do have to be sociable when we come to church, but I don't think we're a social club in that sense. And I believe that when we come to church and we're praying and invoking the presence of the Almighty Living God of this universe, friends, this place becomes a holy place, not because we're here, not because something special is taken here. It's because God is here. We've invited his presence to be here with us. He's waited all week long to spend the Sabbath day with us. And he comes here and makes this place holy because he is holy. We need to understand that when we come to church, this is not a social club. And sometimes you go into church and there's a lot of noise, a lot of commotion. And that's the way it was in Jesus' day. There was a lot of things going on there that should have never been happening. And all that excitement, all of those activities were drowning out the words and thoughts of the worshipers that were there trying to worship. They were worshiping the Most High God, the Holy One of Israel. And they were trying to get their minds and hearts focused on God instead of everything else that was going on around them. And Jesus came and put a stop to all that activities of the buying and selling and the commotion that was going on in the worship, and chased them out of the sanctuary. There have been times when I've been to churches and I've seen people sending around sign-up lists to go to the Pacers game or to a Colts game. I've seen people socializing in the sanctuary. And sometimes, you know, people come to church for different reasons. It's not always to worship God. Sometimes people come to church because that's always been their family tradition. That's what they've always done. Sometimes people come because they feel an obligation to do that. I just don't know what I'd do if I didn't go to church. It just feels right to be there. Sometimes people go there just because they want to socialize with their friends. And there are times people come just because of guilt. And they're thinking, by coming to church, I can come there and then I'll feel better about who I am when I leave. I've seen churches at times that were a little disruptive, to say the least. You know, years ago, I was at a church in southeastern Ohio, and we decided that we would paint the inside of the sanctuary that hadn't been painted for about 35 years. And we decided we'd take all the pews off of one side of the sanctuary and move them to the other side, and then paint that half of the church, then move all the pews back over to the other side and paint the other half, and then put everything back in place. The plan worked really well, but what I discovered is that when we started moving the pews, have you ever looked under the pew? Wrigley's would be really happy at how much gum is stuck underneath the pews. I really believe that sometimes people don't realize that we're in a place to worship God. And oftentimes we desecrate the building because we don't recognize the sanctity that's involved with having the God of this universe to be here with us so that we can worship him. And we act so flippant at times, and we do things that sometimes disregard the holiness of God and his presence with us. God is not a God of confusion. He likes things done decently and ordered. And he calls us into the worship service so that we can pray, so that we can meditate on him, we can read his word, and we can listen to God speak to us through his minister for that day, whoever that may be. God wants to speak to us. And you know, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." And while Jesus ministers in the heavenly sanctuary above for us, ministering for each one of us and praying for us, he is still here by his Holy Spirit ministering to the church Sabbath by Sabbath. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit here to lead us closer to him. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. It talks to us about our respect for God. It talks about having love for him and having this awe and esteem that all of heaven have for God. They do not take it lightly to be in his presence. All of heaven respects him and honors him and glorifies his name. They worship him with all of their being. It is not some flippant, offhand emotion that they have. This is a love that pours out of their heart for their Creator God. And I think oftentimes, because we don't see God sitting in a pew with us, we don't see God standing in the pulpit preaching to us, we often think that it's just human beings that are here in the building with us. But when we pray to the Almighty Living God of Heaven, His presence is here with us just as real as Moses was facing God at the burning bush. Where God is, that's where holiness is at. When we come into church on Sabbath morning and we invoke the presence of the mighty living God of this universe, God is here with us. Where two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus is there also. And I know there are a lot of people that have different ideas about what church is supposed to be like. We don't have a Starbucks. We don't have a McDonald's. We don't have anything like playgrounds for the children here, because we didn't come here for entertainment. We've come here to worship the living God, the one who created all things, including us. We've come here to glorify His name for all of the answered prayers and blessings that He has given to each one of us. He's waited all week long to spend this 24-hour period of time with you and I. What a joy it is. What a blessing that God has thought far enough in advance that He did not create the Sabbath for man, but did not create man for the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath for us so that we could be with Him this whole time, set aside just to worship Him and glorify His name. All of heaven worships and shows reverence in His presence. I mean, just think about it. What do you think it would be like up in heaven if on Sabbath day and they're worshiping in the temple with God, and all of the host of heaven are there worshiping, and most of them are sitting in the pews and they're listening with their eyes closed? What would happen if everybody in the church just started talking to one another while worship is going on up in heaven? Nobody's paying attention to God. There's no worship or glory to Him. Everybody else is just kind of socializing, taking their time with their neighbor and having a good time. Mark chapter 11 at verse number 17. Jesus is there, and he's calling the people away from what they were doing and reminding them that the house of God is a house of prayer. There's a place where we come and we meet with God. You know, God is supposed to be in this house, and God wants to be here. And not only that, not only does God want to be in the church, friends, He wants to be in your heart and mine. And He wants us to invite Him into our church on a Sabbath morning, and He wants us to invite Him into our life. When Jesus cleansed the temple of defilements, He was showing also that He was willing and that He was able and powerful enough and loving and caring enough to cleanse our hearts, our body temple, from all defilement that has crept into our life over the week. So it's good for us to come to church. It's good for us to come here and worship our loving God. But it's also good for us to confess our sins to Him while we're here and ask for the cleansing that only Jesus' shed blood at Calvary could give us. That atoning sacrifice is what we need every day of our life. The whole sacrificial system of worship was a foreshadowing of the Savior's death to redeem the world. And you know, apart from Jesus, that sacrificial system had no meaning at all. Nothing at all. Because it all centered around Jesus. And every lamb that was ever slain pointed to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And without Jesus being the center of that whole sacrificial system, it was worthless. It was meaningless. It was just a ritual and a round of a routine of things to go on. But it had to be Jesus in the center. And so when we come to worship, friends, Jesus has to be the center of why we're here. Jesus has to be it. If we do things that disrespect Christ and dishonor Him in His sanctuary, we are essentially chasing Jesus out of our presence. And I know that's not why we come to church. We come here to worship Him. And we want our worship to Him to be meaningful. We want it to be something that blesses us and gives glory to our Father in heaven. When we come to church, we worship God in truth and in spirit. And God calls for us to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Who knows, friends? We come here with all kinds of different experiences through the week, lots of different emotions going through our hearts. And who knows, when we come here, when we focus our hearts and our minds on God, we might walk out of here with a real blessing on Sabbath morning. because God has been with us. And we have worshiped Him the way He wants us to. And God is calling for us to give Him true worship. But how should we conduct ourselves in the presence of the Almighty God of this universe? I think there needs to be this attitude of worship when we come to church. It's not an opportunity for us to socialize. There's plenty of time throughout the whole week for us to do that. And when we're in the worship center, it's time for us to worship God. And that doesn't mean we listen to God speak to us with our eyes closed and our ears closed. You know, there are times when I've seen in worship services that I've been to, there will be a time for singing and people stand up, you know, as normal. And I see so many people that stand up. They don't lift up a hymnal. They don't sing. I've seen times when people would be, when we're going through the worship service, there are people with their phones texting a friend or family member. There are people talking on their phones. I've seen people during prayer, you could hear it. Click, click, click. Someone's clipping their fingernails during prayer. And, you know, there's all kinds of experiences that go on, friends. And I know you don't see it, but there's times when I have opened my eyes during prayer, and it's amazing how many eyes you see focused on you up on the platform. Instead of heads bowed, eyes closed, hearts and minds focused on God, their eyes and mind are somewhere else. And I think it's time for us to glorify God and to talk to Him. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, it is a call back to the Creator God of this universe. This three angels' message that God has given to us, the first angel was calling every man, woman, and child around the world back to their Creator God to give Him true worship and glory. And God is calling for us in these last days to give Him the praise and honor and glory that He's created us to do. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Listen to this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, this is my closing thought for you. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. May we praise God and honor Him, and not just what we say, but in how we worship Him when we come into His house. May He be with us and bless us while we're here. May we give true honor, praise, and glory to Him that is due to His holy name. May we feel the blessing of His presence on Sabbath when we come and give Him the worship and the glory and the praise that He deserves. God bless you.